Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
We're returning now to that story where the vast majority of residents and staff at the Nightingale Nursing Home in County Galway have tested positive for COVID-19. The HSE is working to provide support, but earlier today we heard how abandoned they felt when just one nurse and one carer was looking after the residents in the entire home. It is a very worrying time for relatives. In a moment I'm going to be speaking to Mary Butler, Minister of State for Older People, but first I'm joined by Pádraig McDonagha, whose mother Breege is a resident of the Nightingale Nursing Home. And Pádraig, thank you for joining us this evening, because I can only imagine it's a very stressful and difficult evening that you've had. I wonder, could you first just tell me about your mother? How is she doing?
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to describe the situation. My mom, Breege, is 92. She's with the Nightingale Nursing Home for 9 years, and they've been 9 very pleasant and happy years for her and for us. She's been under fantastic care, and it's been a home away from home. And the staff there are absolutely fantastic. I really want to say that, because anybody who has a relative there feels indebted to the care and love that our relatives are getting under the care there. She's been doing well. We understand that she had a breakfast today, was in good spirits, was good this afternoon. We called to the place just to offer our support and to say thank you on foot of the, particularly on foot of the interview that Patricia did today on the Joe Duffy Show. And it was hard not to get upset. I found myself becoming emotionally overwhelmed at the plight that the staff are in and that they were left in by the HSE.
And in terms of your mum's health, she had breakfast this morning. It sounds like she's in good health, but we know that a lot of the residents have tested positive for COVID. Was she among those?
She was. She's one of the 22 out of 24 people, not counting the person who passed away this week, who contracted the virus very suddenly, which is difficult to understand. And it's an emotional shock for all of us who've had such faith and care in the systems that have been employed there. Mom appears not to have any symptoms at the moment, but that, of course, can change with the way these viruses go.
And how is she with all this going on? Have you had a chance to talk to her?
No, we haven't been able to visit at all for the past couple of weeks, because the Nightingale instituted they just put a stop to the visits for the welfare of the residents. Before that, we had 2 members per family who could visit every week, kind of thing, for 20 minutes or half an hour. At that time, my mum suffers from dementia, so she's not entirely aware of what's happening around her, which is probably a blessing in the circumstances.
I suppose, and I understand why you would say it is a blessing in the circumstances, because I think for people in there who would be aware of what's going on, it can only be a very distressing time. But I just wonder, for your family then, hearing that there was just one nursing staff and one carer available to look after all of the residents over a prolonged period of time, the last 24 hours or whatever length of time it has been, were you concerned, or how did you feel about, you know, what care she might be able to get in that time?
It's hard to describe. Look, we've all been living with COVID for the past 7 months or so, or 8 months or whatever it is. And we understand that there are people worse off than we are, or our family is. And we understand that people are in worse circumstances than mom. Speaking for myself, the sense of outrage that you'd feel at the situation, on the one hand, I was personally grateful that somebody was there to give her breakfast, because one person trying to work with 24 staff, they normally have a team of 7 to look after, between nurses and carers, and they had one nurse and one carer for the last 2 days. I mean, they've been on to the HSE since Tuesday, and it's not like it should have been a shock to them. They've known themselves this was coming. The surge was predicted and foretold by their own experts. And 48 hours later, they're still waiting for any kind of meaningful coverage. They sent somebody, and the bureaucratic ass covering statement that they put out about the resources they had provided, where somebody called in and effectively told them something about the bins and to use the hand squeezer or hand sanitizer twice. And effectively, they learned nothing new from that visit. So thanks very much, HSE, for that help. Mm. We're all feeling a sense of, I suppose, shock and care for our various families. We know that we can't complain at all. I mean, the Nightingale had been stringent. You couldn't get in there with the biro that hadn't been passed PPE or something for the past number of months. And the Nightingale actually closed down before Dr. O'Hanlon announced the lockdown. That's how careful they've been, and they've had zero COVID the last time out, and all the HICWA reports have been exemplary. Locally, they're doing absolutely, they're pulling out all the stops, and they have done so. And they do it with the warm spirit, which would have to rail at the system that allows this to happen, especially when it's been predicted and foretold. And they could do a lot more. The speed of response is just breathtaking, where it takes 48 hours. If the carer that they had on, the nurse that they had on, if that person had an accident, or if there was a medical emergency anywhere else in the place, there was nobody took after the remaining patients, the level of proactive planning or advanced thinking or level of contingency stuff that they're doing is very poor. My God.
And of course, you're stuck at home because you can't go in and visit her, or you can't go in and help, or you can't go in and take her home. So there's a powerlessness then for the families of all the residents involved.
100%. The idea of having to cart all the residents into a hospital, assuming you could find a hospital, assuming you could find beds, assuming you could find the ambulances. And look, I know the health resources are stretched, and it's not all about my mother or anybody else's mother, but there's something, it's a fair indictment of the level of planning when they had the resources and they say they're doing the little and all. And at the time of the COVID, the HSE promised everything would be done and the government said everything would be done. That's a very bad level of coverage when they had time to do advanced planning for this stuff. Mm-hmm. And our nursing home isn't the only one. There's nursing homes all over the country and there's people who are worse off. But just you expect a bit more thought to be put into this kind of thing when people have had a chance to plan in advance.
Pora, can I just ask you finally then, do you know what is going to happen next then in relation to your mum's care?
We don't. All we know is that the staff whom we called to this afternoon said that they would be in touch with us immediately if any change in mum's condition happened, and I'm sure they're saying the same for the rest of the families. I think they said that the community care, the community response to their situation has been terrific. They've got offers of voluntary personal help from nurses, they said, from Donegal to Kerry. People who are offering to come in on their own time to help out the situation because it's just so unbelievably poor. And I know there's a doctor from Bonaslow, apparently, from the hospital, who has said that she's offered to come in her own time to support them. So they're getting terrific support from the community. I think they're living in hope, and they may have been promised something from Roscommon Hospital for 3 days, I heard on the radio. So it's a bit up in the air. But it's a shame that they had to go on RTE radio to explain how bad things were to get some response. So speaking as a family member, I'm just really glad that something is happening.
All right, you might stay with us, Pora, because I'm joined as well, as I said, by the Minister Mary Butler, Minister of State for Mental Health and Older People. And you can hear their minister listening to Pora McDonagh, who is so concerned about his mother, Breed. She's 92 years old, suffers from dementia, has now contracted COVID-19, and he knows that she's been in the nursing home for the last 2 days with one nursing staff and one carer. Can you imagine being in his position or in the position of the other family members? And how has it been allowed to get to this point?
I suppose, Sarah, there's no words that I can say at the moment will comfort Pádraig. And I'm just glad that his mother is doing so well and that he's getting contact from the nursing home, and he knows exactly her situation, how she had her breakfast this morning. That's very, very important. This is such a challenging and a distressing time for the residents, for the families and the staff. And in a broader sense, Sarah, if I could just say, I am very concerned about the current evolving situation, because we now have 45 open outbreaks in nursing homes, and 20 of those outbreaks occurred in the last 14 days. So we have a situation when you have ongoing community transmission, settings like nursing homes are more vulnerable to exposure.
Mm. I tell you what, we might get to the evolving situation in the broader context in a second, but could we stay with this particular specific case,
yeah,
if you don't mind initially? Because I think the whole country has been taken aback by the fact that after what we went through the last time, and we saw how this virus spread through the nursing homes the last time, and we had a full special report on how to not let that happen again, that at the beginning of our second wave, it happens again, and it happens in a way that I don't think we saw the last time, where we have, as I said, and as Pádraig has outlined so well there, we have a number of residences, 24 residents, I think, in the care home, with one nursing staff and one carer asking for help for 2 days. Now, my question is, how has that been allowed happen?
My understanding, Sarah, is that the HSE had been in direct contact with the nursing home since last Sunday. My understanding is that all the staff and the residents in the nursing home were tested on Monday, and that eight care staff out of 12 were COVID, and 22 of the residents were COVID as well. So hugely high numbers. A lot of work has been done to prepare for the second wave. So if you go back to the likes of March and April, where we had a shortage of PPE, there was a huge issue. We had patients being transferred from acute hospitals without being tested. So a lot of good measures have been put in place. So the issues around PPE have been solved. There's a temporary assistance payment there called the TAPS payment, where 46 million has been drawn down already to support nursing homes, both private and public, and residential homes. Testing of patients before transferring from hospital, and also staff supports for staff who may not be able to live at home when there is a COVID outbreak. But where there is one real challenge, and we have seen it this week, was that there were not agency staff available. My understanding is that the nursing home and the manager, they did all they could to try and avail of agency staff, but they just were not available. And that's where we have that's where the real challenge is going forward now.
Yeah, it is a real challenge, and it's a serious problem. And as Pádraig said there, if the nurse, either of those two staff members, the nursing staff or the carer, if had an accident or anything had happened to them, you could have had one person being
you
left.
You absolutely could. And
do you agree that this is an entirely unacceptable incident?
I absolutely do agree it's entirely acceptable. I know if it was my own mother was in the nursing home, I'd be absolutely distraught. But I just want to compliment the staff that were there and how they kept going.
Okay.
Obviously, there's huge challenges to try and get staff in place. I wasn't made aware of the situation myself until this morning. So that was Thursday. And I do know, for example, that so we have 23 COVID response teams throughout the country, and the director of nursing is on site at present. That was this afternoon. She was reviewing the staffing situation for today and over the next couple of days. I do believe also that there is a night nurse after being put in place for the next 3 nights, and more supports have arrived.
Yeah, and that's after the nursing manager went on national radio and started crying. You know, that's when that happened.
Sarah, I have spoken to many, many nursing homes, in the last over the last 7 or 8 months, to be honest. And the levels of burnout and the levels of anxiety and the stress they are suffering at the moment is high. They're really, really worried about the challenges they are facing into the winter. And if I could just add, just to say, the HSE are currently supporting 162 different services. So including nursing mm-hmm. homes, including residential care homes, including homes where people maybe okay. living with disabilities. So the virus is rampant. It's rampant in the communities, and unfortunately the vulnerable nature of people in a nursing home because of their age, their underlying condition, the extent of their requirements makes it very, very challenging. And if the COVID comes in at all, it just seems to sweep through like wildfire. Like I heard Pádraig.
I think Pádraig just wanted to ask a question there, Minister, if you don't mind. Pádraig.
Thank you, sir. I accept that resources are stretched, but hang on a second. This has been the case for 7 months. Billions have been spent investing here. Is it beyond the capability of the HSE to do some strategic planning, some contingency planning, taking into account agency resources? Where was the resource management here? Where was the forward planning? Where was the creative thinking to anticipate situations that might arise? It's like they only discovered this week that they don't have agency staff. Give me a break. These people are paid a lot of money. They can't complain that they didn't have money to spend. Billions have been put into this. What were they doing for the last 6-7 months?
All right.
If I could just say, Pádraig, in reply to that, it's up to each nursing home to have a contingency plan put in place. So the majority of nursing homes would have a contingency plan. They would have a huge amount of work done in relation to infection prevention control.
I accept that. My question to you would be, how come the contingency of a massive catastrophic as virus striking any nursing home. How, to what extent has the HSE prepared for, anticipated and got ready to resource that?
The HSE have done a huge amount of work, but if I could just reiterate what I said, the HSE are currently on site in 162 okay. different services.
And it's very difficult to get staff in specific areas overnight.
And just a final question
to yourself, Minister, if you don't mind, because you have identified staffing as being the major challenge here. And we heard from Dr. Martin Daly, who is also helping out this nursing home earlier today, saying that, you know, this is not going to be the last nursing home that is going to be hit. He reckons there will be many, many more. If we're already at the point where one nursing home can't get agency staff, can you tell me what is in plan at the moment to make sure that this can't happen again, that there will be staff available in future?
Well, what we'll all have to do is we will have to work together. And I was delighted to hear Porrig said that when he spoke to the nursing home, they had so many different nurses and volunteers that said they would come and try and help. Now, currently, the Sale to Hospital Group and the HSE Community Service are working with the COVID-19 response team to try and make sure that sufficient and adequate staff will be in place.
Okay.
This is going to be a challenge, Sarah. I'm not going to try and dress it up. It is going to be a challenge, because when you have specific areas where they might be quite rural communities and you don't have an extensive amount of agency staff available in that particular area, you know, that's something that we're going to have to look at very closely and try and ensure this does not happen again.
All right. Well, thank you both very much for joining us this evening. That's Mary Butler, Minister of State for Older People. And also a special thanks to yourself, Pádraig McDonagh, on what I know has been a very difficult day for your family, Pádraig McDonagh's mother, Breach, being a resident of Nightingale Nursing Home. It is worth noting that we did ask to speak to the owner of Nightingale Nursing Home on Drive Time this evening, but she declined.